dream. And it reminded me that for as many times as I have led worship here, I must still have some underlying anxiety about leading worship. Because even though I don't necessarily feel it when I'm up here that much, I dreamt that I was up in front and it was time to do the scripture reading and I did not have the Bible verses in front of me. And I couldn't remember what they were and I couldn't find them in the Bible. And Julia was sitting in the front row scowling at me. So, I do have the Bible verses today. We'll be okay, I think. So, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it says he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. And our second reading today is from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 24 to 35. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boat and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them, very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal. Then they said to him, what must we do to perform the works of God? Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So they said to him, what sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. A word from our Holy Scripture. I see our offering tables nicely lined up here. So let's do the offering. This is what it seems like the crowd was following Jesus around, is pleading or demanding. Just before today's gospel reading from John, we hear that this crowd gathered has already been fed abundantly from the loaves and fishes that Jesus collected and his disciples passed around to the hungry onlookers. And and yet still they won't mourn. Where is our manna from heaven, like our ancestors thought? The crowds have been fed with bread, fish, and miracles, yet they continue to follow Jesus around, waiting for the next feed, the next meal of abundance to be presented to them. They aren't satisfied. Does this sound familiar to anyone else? In North America, it is now quite common to have garages of 900 to 1,000 square feet in order to hold all of one's belongings and toys that we rarely use, which was the average size of the starter home built in the 1950s. Yet, polls gauging how happy people are say that happiness levels peaked in 1957. Our wealth continues to accumulate while our feelings of happiness go down. We continue to gather things and experiences while becoming less and less content and satisfied with our lives. Think of a pair of young children, toddlers, in a room full of toys. There might be 25 toy cars to play with, but if one child picks up one car, the other child wants that same car too, despite there being 24 other cars for the second child to choose to play with. Arguing, tears, and tantrums often ensue because both children want that one car. They have plenty, but they're fixated on more. That is human nature, to want more, more, more. We see what someone else has, and we want it too. And we've been taught to think this way, chasing our capitalist dreams. We have, but we want more. So I personally read this passage from John today, and I thought, oh, those silly followers, unsatisfied by what they've already seen, heard, and experienced with Jesus. Why do they keep asking for more than they should be entitled to? Why are they so greedy and clueless? But then, I took a good look at myself, and I'm exactly the same. I have way more stuff in my home than what I need. I live in a single family home, and I'm only one person. I eat rich food, and more of it than I should. I want bigger, better experiences, vacations, a travel, beautiful objects, fun excursions. I make decent money in my job, but I really wish I made more. I have a cell phone, a computer, internet service, but the internet is slow sometimes, and there's really not enough data in my devices to store everything I want to. I attend church, and I make an effort to follow the teachings of Jesus. Wouldn't it be nice to have a sign? Something really obvious and tangible to show me that I'm on the right path? Maybe a little voice from God or an angel appearing to me to give me some reassurance? I am just like the silly Jesus followers in John's story. Totally clueless. Never satisfied enough with all of the goodness that I've been given. And I wonder, does this ring a bell with any of the rest of you, or am I alone in all of this? It really is human nature, and what is it ever in human nature? When will we ever learn? In the Gospel story today, Jesus is trying to teach the crowd about the bread that satisfies. They keep asking for more from him. More bread, more teaching, more miracles, more signs. What they don't realize is that the more they have, the more they compromise their health and their nutrition. The volume of bread that they might be able to stuff into themselves will never truly fill them up. They will keep stuffing themselves with bread that contains empty calories. White Wonder Bread, spiritually, if you will, without realizing that it will never give them the healthy nourishment they actually. Jesus says, do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. But in hearing Jesus say this, the still lived gathered crowd don't fully grasp what Jesus is saying. They ask for Jesus to give them this bread always. Give us this bread. To which he responds, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. What is the difference between the bread that doesn't satisfy and the bread that satisfies? The whole wheat spiritual bread. What Jesus offers to the crowd of followers and to us is not the bread that simply fills us up with empty calories, but the bread that will sustain us. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. What does it look like, and how do we act in our lives if we are full of the bread of life? What satiates our immense human hunger? I think it comes down to this. Instead of wanting more, instead of always looking to fill ourselves up and fill our lives with bigger, better experiences and objects, we try to fill up everyone else by building up the body of Christ. We feed the hungry, we clothe the naked, we house the homeless, we care for the helpless. The feeding and the filling up needs to come from the inside to go out, not from the outside in. The bread of Christ is love. Love from within, the love of Christ embodied in us and through us. In today's epistle reading from Ephesians, Paul writes that we are all given different gifts. Paul says, the gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, the measure of the whole stature of Christ. Speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. We are all parts of the body of Christ. One bread, one body. Every one of us is a slice in the big loaf of God. Let us find our way forward in knowing that we are fed by feeding others, that we receive strength and nourishment and sustenance by freely giving and not just receiving. Though we are many, in Christ we are one.